Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Bengal Tiger Podcast. I'm Matthew Bruni, and joining me once again is Shay Dixon here for a mailbag podcast. It's not Monday, though. It is Thursday, so I don't know what I'm going to do with the thumbnail, but we're here.
No, that's why we have you. Edit that thumbnail up.
I honestly
You're the
don't
guru
know
here.
I don't know if I have the tip lift. I don't know if I have the PSD anymore, so we'll see. Might have to just go to On3 and be like, hey, I need a thumbnail.
They'll do it. You, the rule of thumb is the youngest person on the site handles all the technical stuff. The old people don't know what to do there.
It was all of our birthdays over the past like 3 weeks.
It was from the 17th. I think it was a 17-day span.
Yeah,
myself and you and then Billy.
Yeah, whenever your birthday is to Billy, which was April 3rd, just the run of birthdays. So we're all older now.
We all got a year older. It happens. All right, we haven't done a mailbag in a while.
Correct. Spring football is obviously underway. We're, what, 8 practices in, 9 practices in, something like that. We talked to Matt House earlier this week. I was there for that. But nothing, obviously, groundbreaking. But we have had tidbits up on the site, you know, and talked to different people throughout it. But, yeah, we put a mailbag up for football questions, and y'all sent y'all's questions so we can get into them.
Well, of course, Hunter Fournette. Salute. He's been very active in every mailbag.
Yes.
Every YouTube. He led off with he didn't break the rules of no recruiting questions, which there are a number of recruiting questions in here. Not long after Matthew and I record this, Billy and I are recording a recruiting pod. So I will just take all those and get Billy and I to break them down in the recruiting pod. So not skipping over those questions, we will get to them. Hunter Fournette, Matty B, you are the basketball expert. Who do you have in a fight between a grizzly bear and Kim Mulkey? And why did you choose his question number two? Why did you pick Mulkey? My thought would be the grizzly bear would be quite distracted by all the sequins. And then maybe she could figure it out from there.
Her clothes is, you know, she's going to have the bright jacket on. She's probably going to wear, she's going to beat the bear and then wear the bear to the next game.
Oh,
that's something that she would do. That's something.
Is it a Baylor bear?
Ooh.
I don't think the Baylor Bear is a grizzly, though.
I don't know what the Baylor Bear is. That's a great question.
I think it's
that's
brown bear.
Shout out to Kim Mulkey. And it looked like everybody had a great time at the parade yesterday. I could not make it, but it looked
I would think, too, that if she was in a fight with a bear, that bear would have to get through, like, the 24 assistants first. You know, like, she is the boss, so you're not running straight to level 12.
Exactly.
The bear's worn down or just dead by that point. So,
exactly.
Yes, we're taking Mulkey.
We'll take
Go 63. He's got a Caden Durham question. That's recruiting. Me and Billy will get to that one. Billy's in the Dallas area, so he's got some good insight on Duncanville kids. Iowa Tiger says he asked a lot of questions, which he did, but he said today is his long workout day. Hopefully you're getting out there, getting jacked or cardioed up or whatever you're doing at the gym, Iowa. But let's roll through some of these. Which players have you heard that have made some strides or leaps this spring? And this is going to come down to just kind of our feeling on things and what we've heard, because at practice, we have not gotten a full practice yet. We're still stuck on 20 minutes of individual periods. So that just is position drills at the beginning. They're basically just getting warmed up. Mm-hmm. I will say from just talking to people, but also then listening to both coordinators and Matty B, you were there for House the other day. I don't know if you want to take a defense guy, but I'm going to go with Jaden Daniels. And I think Denbrock, how he talked about the strides that Daniels has made, and really specifically with the vertical passing game or an explosive passing game and getting downfield and pushing it downfield more, they have the tools for it. It's in Denbrock's playbook. It's just a matter of Jaden taking that step of, hey, I'm going to take some more risks. And I think inherently he tried to protect the ball a lot last year. We've talked about it ad nauseum. His touchdown interception ratio is excellent. But at the end of the day, you need a little more aggressiveness. And I will say he looks like he's filled out a little bit. And he's a naturally thin guy. He's tall. So it's tough to get a lot of weight on a guy that's just naturally tall and thin, almost like a basketball player. But you can tell he's put in some work in the weight room, which is what Brian Kelly talked about. I've also just heard from people behind the scenes that he is really coming back to up his draft stock to have a pro future. So I would say Jaden is one guy I think is making tremendous strides.
Yeah, I'll go defense. I have two names. Jacoby and Guillory got a nice shout out from Matt House. I think he's gotten a few shout outs this offseason. And that's not a surprise because Mekhi Wingo, Mason Smith, Jordan Jefferson are all out. So he's kind of that, you know, guy you're going to see a lot of if you watch practice and you know, watch these guys go at it. Jacoby and Guillory is going to get a lot of those first team reps. And then I'll go throw in LaTerrence Welsh, who we've talked about as being kind of the unknown in this room, even though there's a ton of transfers. He's kind of the most unknown in a room full of unknowns, but we've talked to some players and they've kind of raved about him and what he's done. So I'll throw LaTerrence Welsh in there. I think he could compete for some playing time, which is great. That's what we expected from him if he's healthy. Those are the two that I go on. And then, you know, Harold Perkins at inside linebacker, I think he's actually improving and learning a lot at that spot, because it is exactly what we talked about before spring, where I was like, they're just going to stick him at middle linebacker and say, all right, your only focus is this right now. And then when the season comes, we'll see what happens. We'll see where they put him.
I'll say another name I've heard, and this is almost a direct quote on Omar Spates, who came from Oregon State, who's a veteran. He's played so much football. You mentioned that middle linebacker spot. I was talking to someone last week who was like, man, glad we got that guy. Like, he can play, he's a leader, and it's a shallow position. So that will be one of their key transfer additions. Okay, Iowa asked about more transfers. Denver Harris, let's assume he wins the starting job at corner. Who pulls ahead for the other one? Do you want to roll with LaTerrence Welsh, who you just shouted out? I'll say this, from watching practices and then hearing buzz, I would put Zy Alexander above J.K. Johnson right now. If I'm talking transfers opposite of Denver Harris, and Deuce Chestnut has been injured and hasn't done any spring stuff. So my answer would be Southeastern Zy Alexander.
I think Zy is probably, just based off, again, we haven't seen full practices, but I think Zy is probably the answer right now across from Denver. And so if you go Zy, and obviously then JK and LaTerrence battling it out as well, we don't know where Deuce Chestnut's going to land exactly, but I think Zy is the answer at this moment on April 6th at 10 a.m.
Yeah, well, and by default, outside of LaTerrence Welsh, who is the only returning scholarship cornerback, it's going to be a lot like last year. It's going to be a lot of names you have not seen before because they are transfers, and they're going to have to step up in really big ways, much like Bernard Converse and Garner and that group did a year ago. All right, yes, seven questions. Actually, some of these are recruiting, so we can skip them and hold them for the Billy Pod. But I like this one. The Jack position, which is the stand-up edge rusher, is an important role for the defense. I'd argue it's our weakest position group. Do you see outside pass rush being a problem? I am not bought in that Ovia Gofu and Braden Swenson are the answers. And not that they have any other answers. I mean, unless they're playing Deshaun Womack there, you're moving other guys, or Jackson Howard is a true freshman starting to see some run. But I can admit that there is probably a natural drop-off from BJ Ojulari to these guys, and that's not knocking their game, and Agofu is very experienced, but I think it's going to have to be more of a group effort than just Ojulari and throwing Harold Perkins over there.
I think you're right, 100%. I think when you look at this defensive line, obviously it's going to be the defensive tackles. That's going to be what dictates how good this defensive line is, with Mason Smith, Mekhi Wingo, right? Like, those are the guys. I think you're 100% right. I think if you look at the Jack position, these guys are not BJ Ojulari. The other defensive end spot, the drop off from Ali Gay to Savion Jones, Quincy Wiggins, so on and so forth, is not substantial.
No, I don't think that's a drop off. I think Savion might be better than Ali Gay.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, that position's fine. The Jack position is the one where you are worried. You're like, there is not a BJ Ojulari here. There is not an elite pass rusher here. We had hoped Deshaun Womack maybe would come in and be immediately ready to play at that spot. Obviously, we don't know if he's going to play Jack or defensive end at this point. He's not participating in spring. And then, like I said, Harold Perkins is at inside linebacker right now because Matt House said in his press conference, the long-term plan for him was to play inside linebacker. I think that's obvious. At the end of the day, what's the best option to win games? I don't know if it's putting Harold Perkins at inside linebacker or Jack linebacker. I don't know the answer to that. But like you said, Ovio Gofu is a good player. Braden Swinson's a good player. They are just not the game changers that like BJ Ojulari was.
And I'll say this. If I'm Matt House, I feel like the break, you know, like if the house is on fire and, you know, so you've got the break glass in case of an emergency here, Deshaun Womack and Harold Perkins jerseys are hanging up in there. Like, if I get into trouble and I'm Matt House, I'm saying, all right, well, I'm putting Perkins over there or I'm putting Womack there. And I'd feel great about both of them. So,
for sure.
I don't know. It is a position that I think has question marks, but that's because we just don't know exactly what the order of the pecking order will be.
Yeah.
Number four, which freshman can you see having the most playing time of the ones who arrived early? So they have 12 early enrollees. Maddie B, convince me maybe at this stage why it's not JV and Toviano.
That's a good one. I was looking at maybe one of the receivers.
Okay. I like that.
That was maybe one of my first ones, because even though Jackson Howard, I think, looks good, I don't think Jackson Howard gets in. Parker and Brown. I think Billy said Brown was had a light hamstring. That's why he missed practice on Tuesday.
And Parker's game ready. That's a big kid, physical.
Parker looks like he's ready. Like, if they need him in the slot, I could definitely see him getting 10, 12 snaps in the first two or three games of the season. Like, that wouldn't surprise me. So I think I'll stick with him. The tight ends are very interesting, though.
I think that's the other answer.
They haven't talked about them. So the default answer, honestly, the safest answer might be Mac Markway.
I agree. The safest answer is Mac Markway. I think he's going to play a lot as the number one blocker.
Yeah. Like if Jack Mashburn can get on the field and block, I mean, Mac Markway can get on the field and block somebody. I mean, he can make a difference with the way he can block people.
I think that Toviano – I mean, we've already seen him at corner, nickel, and safety, and they're figuring out the corner and nickel spots. They do not have much safety depth, and they've run into injuries already there. So Toviano would be my pick as a guy who I think is good, on track to at least be able to play a good bit.
Yeah, I like Toviano and then Markway. I mean, in our practice report, I was kind of down on Markway, and it was like, damn, you know, they were kind of sad I was down on Markway, but – I mean, he's going to get on the field. He can block. I've never said he can't block. I just, you know, the upside is just my hesitation with him compared to Kamorian Pimpton and Jackson McGohan.
Yeah, and Mason Taylor. You've got some guys who can catch the football, obviously. Yeah. So I'm with you. Markway, the safe bet. Toviano would be my other, certainly, that could maybe carve out a little playing time. Aside from injuries, what can you see that might hamper this team from achieving their goals this season? I think for me, Matty B, when I just think about winning an SEC West and winning an SEC championship and making it to the playoffs, which is the goal, beyond injury, the thing that gets in the way is talent. You play other teams and you can just have an off day one day. Like the Arkansas game last year, they just slept walked through it. Like, they could have easily lost that game. The season looks totally different. Or you don't, you know, beat Bama in overtime and the season looks totally different. So I think the one thing that always just stands is competition, right? And you're saying, Shea, that's evident. Yes, you have to win games to get that far. But, like, they could not go to another SEC championship for years. I mean, it is tough to do. LSU had many years between trips, at least pre-Joe Burrow when they went in 2019. So I just think playing in the SEC, you have to be on your best every weekend. And it's something Brian Kelly talks about all the time, is that every week you got to be dialed in, because – Kentucky, Missouri, any of these teams can sneak up on you and ruin a whole season.
Yeah, and they have Florida State week one, top 10 game there. So you could very well start off your season with a loss, and then everyone's panicking already, as we know from last year. If you look at this team, I mean, we kind of talked about the Jack position, but I think the defensive line's fine. I think the linebacker group is fine. The only group that you can look at and be like, okay, well, the question marks are so big that they could, in theory, cost this team games, would be the secondary. Like, I still have 100% belief in the secondary right now. I think they're going to be fine, but they are the position group that you're like, okay, you know, I don't want to take for granted what we got last year with Jerick Bernard Converse and Mekhi Gardner. That was an incredible year from those two to be thrown together the way that they were in a new defense, new system. I mean, at a different level for Mekhi Gardner. And for them to play the way that they did was special. I just want to make sure everybody understands that. So that way, if things are a little rockier in the secondary, we're not going to be like, oh, you know, what happened? What happened with Matt House and stuff? I just want to – it was special what happened last year in the secondary. And this is going to be interesting to see how they can replicate that.
Yeah, safety for me. And we've said it on the pod before, Greg Brooks and Major Burns are so key because that's almost all that you feel like you've got back there that's proven. Yeah. And especially with Sage Ryan at nickel. And Brooks has been hurt. Burns has been hurt in different spots. Burns been hurt in two different seasons. So, like, I'd like to see them get in the portal and add another safety if there was a talented one. But yes, I think if you're talking personnel wise, that DB is one that I just don't know what the answer is to yet. And that obviously can burn you at times. I think they're going to be great at D line. I think they'll be good enough at linebacker. And the rest of Iowa's questions are about recruiting. So he'll have to tune into the next pod. The workout continues for him. Tiger Mike, what's the latest in hiring a D line coach? Any realistic time frame? Brian Kelly made it kind of clear, I thought, that when we talked to him, that he said, hey, I'm waiting till after spring ball, which is April 22nd is the final day. And I don't know if that means he's already got someone in mind and done, and he's just waiting for the right time for them to be done with spring, whatever it might be. But I would say after April 22nd. So I don't think it will happen during the middle of the spring. I think he's okay with Jancic and Chapman, the interim D-line coach, Gerald Chapman, carrying the rest of the way there. I'm scrolling through these questions. Some are recruiting, so I'll skip them. Misled alarm. Outside of Toviano, is any other freshman DB turned heads? Are they all still trying to catch their footing? I think it's probably like catching your footing, right? I mean,
I don't think I'm trying to think.
Jeremiah Hughes, Ashton Stamps.
Well, what early enrollees are there from the DBs? I know Ryan Yates. He got a shout out from House.
Jeremiah Hughes, Ashton Stamps. I think all these guys are just trying to get acclimated to the college game right now.
Yeah, I don't think any of them have really turned heads. Like I said, Ryan Yates was mentioned by Matt House on Tuesday, so I'll give him a shout out. I'll say Ryan Yates, you know, has done his job at least. But the rest, it's too early to tell of how much they've done.
I'll let you go here so I don't steal the answer. Which freshman that did not enroll early? So, Maddie B, they signed 25 guys, 24 with Doherty not part of the class, but 12 of them enrolled early. So, you've got 12 more coming. Who not on campus do you think is set to make an impact?
Zaylen's heard.
could well be the top answer?
I mean, he's the best player. He's the best player. I don't know. Obviously, you look at offensive line, you're like, okay, well, they're set in the starting five, right? The question is depth. The question is, you know, rotating people in, which they will during the season. So, Zaylen Turner was the first person that popped to mind. The player that will make the biggest impact. Do you have an obvious answer? I'll let you go.
I think that Kamorian Pimpton could be an interesting option because I think that he can default himself into the best receiver on roster immediately. Now, does that equal playing time? No, because Mason Taylor knows what he's doing. He's proven he can do a little bit of everything for you. But when I asked Denbrock about Pimpton last week, I guess that was this week, our weeks are running together, last week, he said that he's a guy who they've been sending workout stuff, film stuff, practice stuff to so he doesn't feel like he's behind when he gets here in the summer. And then there'll be situational things, he said, that they can help him out a lot. Pimpton can help out a lot. I presume that to mean red zone.
Yeah.
You know, he's a mismatch guy. He's got maybe the best catch radius of any tight end in the class. In fact, he does, according to most rankings people. So I think Pimpton, but I think Hurd is a guy who at some point this year is starting football games for LSU.
Yeah, the more I think about it, the more I'm sticking with Hurd. Because whether he starts two games or six games, I think he's going to be in the rotation very, very prominently, like very prominently. So we'll see how that goes.
Miss Lud Alarm, continuing on here. Do you think that Josh Williams will be the lead back again?
Sheesh. Are we losing faith in John Emery a little bit? I just don't know.
Let's just presume John Emery's on the team and playing. He's obviously got to focus on academics, but assume that you've got all the running backs available here. My caveat with this is I don't think it matters who the lead back is.
Yeah. No,
I don't think they're out touching anybody by any large degree.
But I do. I'm going to say Josh Williams right now is running back one.
I agree.
I think he's running back one. He's, again, the safest option. He's the best pass protector. He's knows what he's doing. He can fight for yards. I'd have seen nothing from Kane and Holly through the spring. That makes me think that they're going to be running back one. Armani Goodwin, we'll have to see if he's healthy. John Emery, we don't know his situation. Caleb Jackson looks great on the track. Give him that. And I'm very, very high on Caleb Jackson. I love Caleb Jackson. I think he could be that game-changing back that they've needed over the past 2-3 years. But Josh Williams is running back one right now.
I agree. What's the most exciting 12 personnel lineup you can come up with since they like running it a lot? DeMarcus, I don't know if there's anything exciting about getting in 12 personnel, but
DeMarcus Pimpton, man.
Yeah, Pimpton. Get Pimpton and Taylor out there.
Pimpton and Taylor, and then your receivers as, I mean, I don't know.
Malik and Brian Thomas.
Malik and Chris Hilton, just for fun.
Oh, there you go. The speed demon getting down the field. I will say they'll be able to run a little more 12 personnel comfortably this year, at least they hope, because they actually have some more tight ends. They were very low on tight ends last year. Now, granted, three of the four tight ends are freshmen, so there's going to be some road bumps, much like there were with Mason Taylor. But by the end of the year, you saw he was a very crucial piece to what they were doing. So I don't know. But I don't know how exciting 12 personnel can – how much I can really jack you up about that. That's not like saying most exciting five wide you can give me.
Just Pimpton.
Just Pimpton. That's it. Do you think Greg Penn can have a Jacob Phillips type year as he learns the defense better? Were you around for Jacob Phillips?
No.
That was the year before he came. I think Greg Penn led the team in tackles last year.
Mm-hmm.
He was the only guy who started every game. There's something that Matt Howe sees in Greg Penn that he likes. Now, as they work Perkins at middle linebacker, it's Perkins and Spates with the first team and not Greg Penn. So the guy who led the team in tackles is not even getting first team reps. We can play this game all off season and during the season. I'm higher on Greg Penn than everybody else, and that's just fine. I did the same thing with Damone Clark, and people wanted Damone Clark to transfer to Southern like midway through his college career. I'm not kidding. And he was the best player on their defense in the latter part of his career. So I think Greg Penn, especially with a coach like Matt House, is just fine. So, yes, I think he can have a very nice year.
Yeah, I think he's going to have a fine year. Whether Harold Perkins starts all year or not, I'm an inside linebacker, I think Penn will be fine. Penn will be a very, very nice player for them.
Kimo Macaniole and Bo Borderline, two younger offensive linemen, Matty B, who have been cross-trained at a lot of positions. He asked, do you think they can carve out playing time? I think where the question needs to be framed here is, because both have gotten some reps at center, do you think either of them are a viable center option? Like, is center only down to Charles Turner and Marlon Martinez? Or do you think Brad Davis is saying, hey, I can look a lot of places?
Okay, let's get in the nitty gritty here. How much does Bo Borderline weigh at this point? Because when he came out of high school, he was...
Oh, no, he's put on weight. He's up
there. He was light. I know he's put on weight, but man, he'd have to get significantly bigger.
He's listed at 6'6", 295.
And he's tall for a center, 6'6", 300. I don't know about center there. Kimo, I will say the first practice I went to, I remember which one it was. Kimo was when they had all these players out and everything. Kimo was running with the ones, you know, whatever that means. I think there's only six of them. So, you know, somebody had to run with the ones, but Kimo was in there. I just don't know if either of them are better than Chester or Hurd. But that will be the question, you know, who's better, Chester, Hurd, or Macaniole and Borderline?
I think that it's good that they have no depth. They can't even fill out a two deep on the O-line right now. Right. So both those guys are getting reps, and I think that's very valuable for them and for Brad Davis to see and then know what he's got to work on through the summer and into fall camp. So I'm not ruling out anybody on the O-line, really, because I think that the pieces they have, everybody wasn't going to play transferred. So, like, now these younger guys have a chance to get in there, get some reps. So, yeah, I'm not ruling anyone out. What is your favorite weightlifting exercise? The one with just the bar. It's a very – not a very popular one, but the trick is a lot of reps at a low volume.
High reps. Shay's over there pumping the bar 40 times.
The weights, the plates, that's all for TikTok. The reality is, if you really want to get in shape, just rep that bar out nonstop.
Rep it out.
That'd be you in the gym all the time. What's your favorite weightlifting exercise?
I was going to say bench press. I mean, that's the basic answer.
But with plates?
Yeah, I mean, there's some plates on there. I'm not just doing the bar.
That's a personal choice.
The Bengal Tiger on three combine and everything. We'll figure all that out.
Yeah, we'll get Billy in here. He'll weigh in on that. See what his hockey regimen is. Misled Alarms, last one. What role do you see Dylan Carpenter having on this team? He's your four-star edge rusher out of Santa Ma. Late flip into the class. I really like Dylan Carpenter, Matty B. I know that we've both seen his film and we're like, man, this is a nice take for them. But I think of all positions on defense, that he's at a position that's actually got a lot of people at it. Like, yeah, that are talented.
I don't know where he's going to play. I mean,
Dylan already has a lot of guys. So I would think year one for him is just about getting adjusted to college.
Yeah. Like, there's no pressure on him at all. Savion Jones, Quincy Wiggins. If we put him at that defensive end spot, which I probably do, I mean, I don't put him at Jack right now. But Savion Jones, Quincy Wiggins, Parrishand, you know, go down the list. I mean, of players, if Deshaun Womack's over there, Deshaun Womack, plenty of names at defensive end and Jack right now that are ahead of him. So I don't see him playing.
Bourbon, I agree with you. Bourbon and Cheerios is arrived now in the chat.
Here we go.
What intel have y'all been able to gather on the kicker battle between Ramos and Dibert? I am not going to lie. I have no info on this, but I will say I watched them both kick the other day, and both have made every one of them.
I watched Ramos hit one off the upright. So,
what was it from, like 20 yards, or was it?
No, it was a little bit farther. It was a bit farther. It was about 40, if I had to guess, 40 something. But Ramos was doing first team stuff whenever I watched the special teams. So.
Yeah, when I watched him one day, they were just rotating. It's easy to see, too, because Dibert's left-footed and Ramos is right. So they just sort of
– and they're a different rotated height. I
think yes, Ramos they are.
Is like 4 or 5 inches taller. So you're like, oh, okay, Dibert's coming in, and they're just very different heights. So I think Ramos is still number one, but, you know, competition time.
I'll say this, though. Greg McMahon is a special teams coordinator I trust very much. He was responsible for Cole Tracy, Cade York, and he went to the Northeast and got Ramos as a walk-on. And Dibert was the final scholarship kicker he took before he moved on from the staff. So both these guys are, at least in the eyes of Greg McMahon, good enough to play here.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think
I'll trust it. It'll be an interesting battle to watch. I don't think anything's set in stone there. You told us how Major Burns got his name. He's named after Major Applewhite, fellow Baton Rouge native. How did you two get your name? I know mine. My parents were down, or my mom, I should say, I guess probably was down to a couple names. But when I was born on St. Patrick's Day, I got Shay. So
that is, well, Shay is a lot cooler of a name than Matthew. So you get.
Well, that's why we do Matty B.
That's why you do Matty
B. And you got that name because we gave it to you.
I mean, people in school just called me by my last name anyway. So it was always Bruni. So didn't have to worry too much about my first name. But anyways, I was almost named Nicholas. It was either Nicholas or Matthew. And so it's Matthew. Bible name. There you go. That's really it.
I think I was almost Carl, and then and then when I was born on St. Patrick's Day, my mom went Irish with it.
Carl's crazy. You kind of look like a Carl now that I look at it.
Now that you're thinking about it.
Let's see that.
This one is, golly, Bourbon and Cheerios trying to make us – I can't remember what I did yesterday. My man's about to ask about the 2010 secondary. 2019 skill position versus 2010 secondary. Who are you taking if I give you the 22 defensive and offensive lines at full strength with Mettenberger at quarterback? I don't even know what
that is. Question.
I'm not sure what he's asking.
29. Okay, here, just so people understand, 2019 skill position guys versus 2010 secondary. Who are you taking if I give you the 2022 defense and offensive lines at full strength with Mettenberger at quarterback?
Okay, I'll take the 2019 skill guys. You give me Mettenberger at quarterback, and you give me Jefferson and Chase and Clyde and all those guys, and you're running numbers all over the field. So
yeah, it doesn't matter who the secondary is, honestly, at that point, because there's not – the whole thing with that 2019 team is no matter who you have on them, there's too much field that they can cover. They can go – I mean, the obviously vertical threat, but then all the in-between routes that they could run, I mean, they were just so dynamic and just so balanced. I mean – it's impossible to guard. So good question. I mean, good question though.
I'm trying to think of a 2010 would have been the crossover years of Patrick Peterson, I'm guessing. Eric Reed was on that team.
I know Bourbon Cheerios, just next time you do it, I want you to type out all of the players that are, you know.
Well, this is – I was around for all this. I just have to refresh myself. So
it, that yeah, was but 20, it doesn't matter. If you're going to ask the question, yeah, I need it all listed.
Craig Lawson time. Was on that team as a safety. Brandon Taylor was on that team as a safety. The corners were – let me look.
I mean –
yeah. Okay, so you had PP7, Ron Brooks. Shout out my man, Ron Brooks. Morris Claiborne, first-round pick. Oh, man. Yeah, it'd always be great to have a really nice secondary with a lot of future NFL guys in it.
Yeah.
I'm going to switch my pick.
There you go.
I'll take all those DBs, and then if you're giving me Mettenberger, I think he can throw it to Malik and all those guys just fine. So.
All right.
I'm switching my pick, Bourbon Cheerios, now that I understand what you're getting.
He's going after 2010. So Shea thinks the 2010 team beats the 2019 team.
No, I think the 2010 secondary is what I want currently on this roster, because I think they have some okay skill guys, some solid skill dudes. What's the worst press box you've ever been to?
Rice.
There you go.
Jesus, Rice. Oh, man.
They've got
bad.
Some money over there, right? They're just not spending it on an athletics.
Yeah, they're not spending on athletics. Let's
they're just
not
say. Getting any smarter in the press box. So
they're
Rice
not
is not for it.
Worried about athletics at all at Rice, but that was definitely the worst, and it was also probably the lowest moment of my North Texas fandom, because they lost to a 1-1 Rice team and didn't make a bowl game because of that, and everybody was crying. Really sad. But
no, in the words of Josh Pate, "Don't lose to food," and North Texas did. I've been to some baseball back in the day parks that didn't even have a press box. It was just
out. Oh, yeah.
And so, like,
yeah, I mean, if we're talking high school,
there's some of that going on.
Oh, yeah. If we're talking like high schools and stuff, yeah. I mean, I've covered, two-way football in Texas before in the middle of nowhere.
Would Texan Tiger, too, shout out to my man, said he'd love an update on John Emery's quote unquote focus on academics as he's been separated from the football team and facilities completely. To our knowledge, he is not with the team at all. And is strictly focused on academics, and we have not heard another update. That tells me that this is an ongoing thing, and he's just got to buckle in. And yep. We probably won't hear anything firm there unless it's bad news. We're not going to hear anything until fall camp, and then it's like, okay, he's eligible and he's ready to go.
Yeah, I mean, he's gonna. What? How many more weeks are there in this semester? They finish what? Early May. I'm not in college anymore. I don't even know. So, yeah, he's got about a month left. And then, obviously, they all take summer classes for the most part.
Yeah, they get into intercession. Then they're in summer school and all that.
Exactly. So it's going to be just – he's going to have to stay on top of it, yeah.
And they might just be – I don't know what his path is. He might be trying to graduate right now, so then he can only just take some
– yeah.
You know, you do like the Joe Burrow route where you just take some online courses as a grad student, and it's not like cramming in 18 hours in the fall. So,
yeah,
we'll learn more about that over the summer. And then he asked about Aaron Anderson's rehab and academic status. I'm not worried about Aaron Anderson on the academic front, to my knowledge. The foot, I think he had to have a second procedure on or got it cleaned up. And then there was something that I think Brian Kelly had mentioned his hand, or maybe he'd broken something in his hand. So he's banged up, but I don't think that's anything that you worry about for the season. I just think he's injured right now. So he'll be out there. Much less worried about Aaron Anderson's future than maybe John Emery's status, at least in my opinion.
Yeah.
A few more here, and then we'll get out. Jay Reyes, 1650. Could we use either Jones, Wiggins, or Womack, and Savion Jones is who I presume he means, in different positions other than hand in the dirt DN? They're all five-star guys. Good point. Good shout-out to the on-three rankings there. Mm-hmm. Would hate to see such good talent not utilized. I love this because I agree. I want to see how you can move those guys around. You don't need to have all three of those guys playing the same DN position.
No, I agree. Womack is obviously the most obvious one where we thought he was going to play Jack, but now it's kind of like, all right, he's going to be defensive end. Womack is the most obvious. Heck, when Wiggins got here, he was so big. I was like, man, I could see him even sliding inside if they wanted him to. Obviously, he's kind of trimmed down a little bit. I mean, he is so lean, and they're all about the same size, Wiggins, Womack, and Jones. No one's like obviously like, oh, he obviously should move to Jack or obviously should move to inside. Like Jones is defensive end. Wiggins makes most sense at defensive end. And Womack, we'll have to see how they use him. That's the whole thing. Like you said, breaking case of emergency, put Womack at Jack and size be damned, just let him go.
Agree. And Matt House is versatile. He's
yes.
likes to use guys in a variety of ways. We saw it with Harold Perkins. He won't be afraid to do it. So I do think that's a thing we're going to watch.
And I think like last year, I mean, we saw those packages with BJ and Harold. You know, if Harold does play inside linebacker, they could very well still have packages, pass rushing packages with Jones and Womack and maybe Wiggins, maybe all three of them on the field. Like, it wouldn't surprise me at all.
We've seen that before, you know, like what, like the cheetah package and all that when you get into these like third and long situations and then you're putting multiple guys out there who are all pass rush kind of specialists. So yes, I could see them kind of shifting things around, especially in situations like that. Two more. Kenny Mack with the second portal window about to be open, opens April 15th. Are you hearing any more smoke on us losing players in the window? I have not heard anything imminent, but I will say, and I haven't been prying to sources nonstop or anything about, hey, who are y'all losing? I think they have so many guys out for spring, Matty B, that everyone's getting reps. So it's tough for guys to be like, I'm leaving because I'm not playing. It's like, you are playing. You literally were out there all spring on the first or second team.
I was going to say, even beyond them actually getting reps, it's like nobody knows where they are on the depth chart.
Correct.
It's like, I mean, even though like you can, like we talked about, like a guy like Kimo Macchioli, right? And Bo Bordelon, like if they had all the freshmen and, you know, they had Mason Lunsford and stuff like that, they could see where they are on the depth chart. Like, oh, I'm not better than so-and-so, or I'm ahead of so-and-so. Kimo Macchioli's getting starting reps like half the time, probably. Like he's just, you know, out there working. So, I mean, guys like that, I mean, you don't really see them moving on. The secondary, there's so much indecision. Really, I don't even know what guys could move on besides, I mean, you know, Matthew Langwall recovering from injury, so on and so forth. But like,
yeah, and he's a local kid. I mean, I would look at guys who are from outside the state, like a Bryce Langston type, who's like,
yeah,
when you hire a D-line coach, that's a third D-line coach he'll have had. He has not played a bunch. They brought in transfers on the interior. So it would be guys like that, but I hate to speculate at this point because I don't know. I have not heard anything, but
exactly.
I don't expect any, knock on wood, I don't expect like getting starters to be hitting. I'm not watching Garrett Nussmeier right now or anything like that. I think everybody who you know about is in place and ready to roll.
Now, like one of the running backs entering wouldn't shock me.
I would, unless it was Armani Goodwin.
That's exactly the name I was thinking about.
Yeah. Like, I think Noah Kane is staying. He's a Baton Rouge native. He went off Noah Penn Kane State. He did that before. Like, he's had another stop. And he's getting first-team run right now. And he played last year. So, yes, if it's a running back, it's Goodwin.
Goodwin is the name I was thinking.
Grape Swisha. Wrapping it up here with a Grape Swisha question. Can y'all rank your top six programs in college football? And then he says, middle finger to the wise one, Josh Pate, for his blasphemy last week. We've worked with Pate before. We love Shout Pate. He put out his top 10 programs, and he gave some guidelines. LSU wasn't in it, but he said he was just caring about a recent multi-year snapshot, synergy, trajectory, more about the here and now, et cetera, et cetera. But
I listened to it. I
did not have LSU on the list. I texted him. I disagreed. Gave him some reasons. But I will say, when I look at a program, I look at your head coach, your recruiting abilities. If you're a school like LSU, your recruiting territory, the success your school has had at competing for championships. LSU's won 3 championships with 3 different head coaches, and Brian Kelly is the most experienced head coach they've ever hired. So I would have LSU in the top 5. I'm not – I think it's Georgia, Bama, Ohio State, LSU, and then I think you can make some arguments of who else would be on there.
It's got to be
– I like, again, Georgia, Bama, LSU, Ohio State. I mean, I guess a Michigan. I'd pick a Southern Cal over Michigan. Like if USC heats up with Lincoln Riley, they can recruit nationally. They'll recruit California kids. They'll get transfers like Caleb Williams. Just can't lose to Tulane.
I think that's a good list. Like, just off the top of my head, I based it off of a lot more. I listened to his podcast. I really didn't really understand his guidelines. I mean, I don't know. I didn't really understand them at all. But I think resources and sustained success is probably the two most important things to me.
You know what? Texas could be an interesting. I know they Texas haven't been good recently, but like they'll pour money into the program. They have a great recruiting base. Like I'd put Texas above A&M.
I'm probably going. I feel like I'm forgetting somebody, but I'm probably going Georgia, Bama, LSU, Ohio State, Texas, Michigan.
Okay.
I think
my order is Bama, Georgia. And then you can argue whatever. LSU, Texas, Ohio State certainly belongs in that.
That's probably one, yeah.
And if you want to put Ohio State above LSU, that's fine by me. Yeah. They haven't won a championship recently or anything, but they're good every single year.
Yeah, I'm cool with Ohio State being up there. Also, I mean, it was pretty interesting. We'll talk about our board a bit, but they did – USA Today put out the college football recruiting spending.
I'm not sure if I believe that.
And I don't really understand it.
Well, LSU's not in the top 10, and I think the 10th spent like –
they're not in the top 20.
Then they don't have LSU's numbers because LSU is out there eating lobsters and dining on Tiger Stadium and doing – like they spent more than $1 million on recruiting.
Yeah, that's why I didn't really understand. Rutgers –
they had the most extravagant setups, all that like –
yeah, that's why I don't understand. I don't know what they were – well, I'll have to read more into it, but I just saw Rutgers at 11, and I was like, oh – Rutgers is spending more on recruiting than LSU and Ohio State.
Well, if that's true, then kudos, which it's not. I don't believe this to be true. They're hiding some numbers somewhere. But kudos to Brian Kelly for winning the West and getting a top 10 recruiting class and not having a top 20 spending budget. Which, again, I don't believe.
So. Honestly, I don't even know if it's like they have them way the heck down here. Like they might be outside, like on this list, they might be outside the top 30.
Yeah. This list comes out every year, and I've heard coaches say before that it's – that malarkey. Ain't it.
It's malarkey.
Malarkey.
Malarkey. So, anyways.
That's all the questions.
Yeah. We're done. Yeah, actually, this is crazy. It says they spent $362,000 in 2021.
They spent that on a weekend.
I was like, what? So, anyways. Go roast USA Today on our board. Go check out the message board. I think we're talking about it. Let's see if it's still there. Yes, it is. So.
All right. That's it.
That's it. I forgot that I'm outroing. I was working with Billy the past few pods. I was like, all right, Billy, go ahead. Outro us. Get us out of here. But now it's me. So anyways, leave us a 5-star rating and review wherever you're listening, Spotify, Apple, comment, share, subscribe. Leave a like on YouTube. If you made it this far, we really appreciate you. We appreciate the support on the channel. Send it to a friend. Let us know what you think in the comments below, what you agree with, what you disagree with. Check us out on the message board, Bengal Tiger on 3. Message board is always popping. Thank you to everybody that sent in questions. Shay and Billy will be back later today with a recruiting podcast. I don't know when that will be out, late Thursday or early Friday. But regardless, check that out as well. And we will talk to y'all then.